Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
Welcome back to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Surprise, surprise. I'm your host, Rob. I usually host the roundtable, but you guys already know that. This is a Firsty Club. Welcome to the show. And we are going to talk about Army's future contest this weekend with Tulsa. But first and foremost, I'm your host, Rob, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dan Oikabesa calling to you out of coastal Connecticut. And we got Omar from the home of Woody Guff 3 in Oklahoma. How are you doing, guys?
Good, man. I hesitate to say it was a Thayer day today, but like I have a rhythm for the way that I do all the stuff that I got to get done in my life. And when that rhythm gets thrown off, it's freaking chaos. So I'm here. I'm on time. I'm in the right uniform. But I'm telling you, we were this close.
Nice. And speaking of people that are not in a good rhythm, how's fatherhood treating you, Omar?
I mean, it's good. I mean, she actually turns a month today. So just like that, a month already passed by and I'm already like kind of sad because I'm like, man, like it just seems like yesterday I was just at the hospital, you know, just seeing you for the first time. But it's not bad. It's an excuse to watch football. I've had to type a lot of Around the American on my phone because I can't really hold a laptop with a sleeping baby. She just doesn't want to sleep in the bassinet, but, you know, we're making it.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. And speaking of making it, we have somebody that will help make you a great deal on your next home. If you listen to this show before, you know that we have a sponsor here. Her name is Jocelyn Bradley. If your PCS needs to the Fort Bragg area, we have the realtor for you. Jocelyn is a member of the Long Gray Line in the class of 2010. She served as an Army logistics officer where she honed her passion for impacting lives. Now as a dedicated realtor, she brings that same commitment to helping you find your dream home. Jocelyn provides exceptional service that's personalized to ensure a seamless home buying experience that's tailored to your needs. Beyond Fort Bragg, Jocelyn has an extensive network of trusted veteran realtors that spans the country, and they are ready to support you wherever your PCS takes you. So whether you're relocating locally or across the country, Jocelyn's recommendations come at no cost, and she will connect you with professionals of integrity in your next market. As a proud supporter of Astro Football this season, Jocelyn is a realtor that you can trust to guide you to your new home. Reach out today and let her make your next move seamless. So, a lot of hubbub last week after the Army-Duke basketball game. There was a release of uniforms. So, those of you guys that are actually paying attention to the news, like Army has some new uniforms. What do we think? We'll start with Omar and then over to Dan. Thoughts on the new swag?
I mean, I didn't think it was bad. I mean, I don't really know what I was expecting, honestly. But I mean, it's not a bad uniform. I like the spirit that it comes in with the Army's 250th anniversary. I do think that, you know, I guess if there was a one-to-one comparison with our rivals out there in Annapolis, this kind of reminds me of their 2023 uniform, where it's like not pushing the envelope too much, just kind of plain. I mean, in execution, I will say, and I think Nike's happier about this, that the merchandise looks pretty cool. I already got my Army Declaration of Independence script, or I didn't really read the full release. I just stopped reading after Espontoon, which was actually something a word that was never said in any of my history classes as a U.S. history major at West Point. So well done. I learned what an Espontoon was, but kind of plain, but not bad.
That's fair. Dano, what about you?
So I love the idea, and I like the uniforms themselves quite a bit. I could have leaned a little harder into the revolutionary history portion of the write-up / presentation. That script, by the way, is called Constitution, supposedly. It's the script that they wrote the Constitution in, which is probably not dissimilar than what they wrote the Declaration in. Obviously, they didn't type it. So, I said this before, it's like, you know, the write-up is all over the place because they're talking a little bit about the revolution, but they completely skip over the year 1775. And then they go, you know, they managed to get a mention of Normandy and Vietnam in there. I thought that the presentation, like, was a little confused, but in terms of, we're going to honor the revolutionary history of the Army, we're going to make it purple with the Purple Heart to highlight the sacrifice, and because that's the only medal that was available to Revolutionary era soldiers, the lineage of that medal, and then we're going to marble it like the headstones at Arlington and other national cemeteries, because those headstones are marble that you get issued. That all of that is cool. But the write-up, just the presentation, I felt was trying to serve too many masters, because it was Continental Army, but also 250 years of service. And I, for my personal taste, also as a historian, man, I could have leaned a little harder into the revolutionary victories of 1775 and 1776.
Yeah, that's fair. Also, you know, like, the United States started losing its chill before we even became a country, you know, sneaking up on people on Christmas Eve and yakking them in their sleeps. I'm all for that. But I think the reality of it is, I think that the social media got super excited about the uniforms, because a lot of people thought the uniforms would look really clean. And, you know, all the College Football 26 nerds were like, hey, put this in the game like now. And almost immediately after the uniforms dropped, maybe within 48 hours, EA was like, we're putting them in. Like, that's going to be in the next update. So obviously, writ large, you know, the audience that likes Army football enjoys the uniform. I like the whole, you know, the marbling and everything else. But, like, yeah, if you're going to go with Revolutionary War history, you know, go all in on that. You know what I mean? Like, I think honor and service is cool, but all, I don't know, it's mixed reviews. But
I agree with you. I like the uniform. Just to look at the uniform, and finally they did something that's not, you know, the last 50 years, they really honored the history of the Army. Like, that part of it was cool. And just taken in a box, the uniform itself is amazing. It's my only issue was the write-up, and, like, just, you know, that video that they shot, just the presentation of it. I was like, come on, guys, let's talk about the thing anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, it is what it is. But yeah, again, you know, cool uniform swag is like all the rage in college football these days, because everybody has some variation of all black. Everybody has some variation of all white. So, you know, having a variation of all white uniforms is pretty cool. You know, and you know, looking at Army's last time, they wore basically a similar all white uniform. It was pretty successful. So no complaints on that front.
I will say, supposedly the merchandise is flying off the shelves.
Yeah,
they couldn't. They won't even sell it to you, supposedly, at AOG in person, because they were worried about not being able to fill all the mail orders, which is freaking unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's cool. And I think the subtle dig for this season, though, I like the purple, is because we beat K-State and they're purple. So, so selfishly, I'm kind of enjoying that a little bit more than I should. But I mean, just being truthful. All right. Moving on to the American Conference review. So, like, we'll dive this a little bit deeper than usual because we've got some time, but Navy beat USF 41-38. Man, like, that's going to be my roundtable topic tomorrow, so we'll talk about that a little bit more in depth. ECU beat Memphis, you know, 31-72. That can't be right.
27. Sorry.
27.
Yes, that is not right.
Typo. That's Liz Dexic for all you guys that can't read. And this week we've got ECU at UTSA, Tulane, Temple, North Texas at Rice. You know, so I'll give a quick rundown what I think. You know, I think the American's wide open since USF lost and Memphis lost. And so you have two really good teams with two losses. Just like Navy, I think they all control their own destiny. But if it comes down to the American championship, you might see a rematch between North Texas and Navy just based off of their path to the championship. UNT's in the driver's seat. They have one, you know, they got one game really that matters, and they always won the head-to-head matchup against Navy, so that puts them in, like, kind of in the front of everybody else. But the playoff may have slipped away from the American this year, and I say that just because JMU has a much better record, and I think they have a simpler path, and JMU's loss kind of looks a lot better because they lost to Louisville back when Louisville was kind of hot earlier in the season. So if you're looking at it, and then again, like, if you look at current evaluations of strength of schedule, it like, it's a dead heat, right? So UNT's at 75% or 75th percentile out of 136. Navy's at 80th now, so they got a little bit of bump up in their strength of schedule based off of wins and losses, but North Texas is at 79, so it's a statistical push. It just depends on, you know, what are the tiebreakers, and I do not want to be in that room that decides that, but what do you guys think?
So I can tell you what the tiebreaker is. The number one tiebreaker is college football playoff ranking. So this thing, it matters quite a lot what the college football playoff committee does. I think that they will reward North Texas and Tulane. I don't see how they can put Navy particularly high when Navy just got absolutely smoked recently by Notre Dame. I mean, you know, we had this last year with Army that had a better record than any of these teams. So I that's like a disqualifying loss just because it's so bad.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Tulane is frustrating because they probably have the best team, but they also have the biggest penchant to like lose to FAU.
Yeah. And that's part of it too. It's just like, you just don't know where that the blind side crazy is going to happen. Right. It's the crazy Ivan towards the end of the year. That's going to throw everything off. It's not the team that's been consistent all year and has one loss. It's going to be the team that whoa, you lost to somebody that you certainly shouldn't have. And you could make the argument that that was USF at Navy. Right. Yeah. Because when you look at it, they just didn't finish the comeback, but that was because they spotted them, you know, early in the first half.
Yeah, I don't want to get too much into that specific game because I want to talk about it quite a bit tomorrow. But it was just that the game plan that USF drew up was aggravating in the extreme.
Oh, 100%. So. 100%. So what do you think, Omar? I mean, you're the aficionado. You're the American fanboy. What are your thoughts on this? Like, who's really going to go to the championship? Who's your picks based off of how the season's been going so far?
So I'm no mathematician, so I'm really I was really frustrated to find that two of the actual rankings that are, I guess, not rankings, but I guess scheduling metrics or whatever, strength of schedule metrics aren't available online. So I'll just start with that. But I think, honestly, I think American fans should rest assured after the James Madison Washington State game. I'm not going to write off the Dukes, but if James Madison doesn't beat Washington State, and then you have, I guess, an argument between a one-loss North Texas that beat Washington State by 49 and a Tulane team that has two losses that beat the North Texas team that beat Washington State. I think that the playoff spot just has to go to the American just based on that simple transitive math, honestly. So I don't think enough people, especially American conference fans, are putting enough of a light on James Madison, Washington State, which honestly about James Madison, Washington State, I thought it was hilarious how they announced that game day was going there and then game day pulled the rug at the last second. Nothing against James Madison fans. I simply quote tweeted that with a gif of Hans Molman getting hit in the nuts with a football. that is exactly what that reminded me of. But honestly, I think things will only get spicy if James Madison beats Washington State by more than 49. I really think that they have to run the score up on Washington State because they're playing them at home. So there's really no excuse. But otherwise, I think that the playoff berth is staying in the American. I think it's either North Texas, Tulane, or even Navy. I don't even think that the loss to Notre Dame is that much of a disqualifier, because are you going to disqualify, say, Pitt if they win the ACC? You're going to disqualify them for losing at home to Notre Dame by 22 and put, I don't know.
They lost at Notre Dame, but yeah, I mean.
Yeah, but we're turning this into a roundtable, but it's really, really hard to, it's really, really hard to not fight that, you know, have that argument, because again, like, the sports writers are supposed to look at, you know, what matters. And these guys are like SEC and Big 12, you know, SEC and Big 10, right? Like, these guys are completely blind to the other fact that there are other teams out there that are playing great football, and they're just not acknowledging it, right? Like, people are talking about, you know, hey, should Alabama still be in it? No, like, we're done. Like, it's over. Like, they've got two losses on national television. They lost, you know, to Oklahoma, no less. Like, Oklahoma
is good. Why do we think Oklahoma's not good? All right, so you're right. We're like way off.
we're turning this at a round table. But okay, so all that being,
there's a tease for you guys.
Yeah, but all that being said, we'll get a lot deeper into this tomorrow, just to talk about it more. But the reality of it is like we're approaching in on the college football selection, and you know, we as the American representatives here, we all want to see an American conference team in the playoff. You know, and I think part of the change that they've had is like they don't want to do like automatic bids for conference champions, because we saw that went last year with Boise State. You know, they didn't turn out as well. And the same thing with the Big 12 with Arizona State, like they didn't pan out the way that they thought. So they adjusted it to make it make more sense. But again, we're moving clearly back into territory of BCS with a different coat of paint. And speaking of a different coat of paint, we have somebody that can help you get a different coat of paint on your new house after you save $1,300 on your mortgage. So over to Dan for the next read.
Friends, this show is also sponsored by Craig Oxane. He is a mortgage broker, area sales manager for the Money Store. He is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. Craig is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. He is going to give you super competitive rates, give you the best deal on a mortgage that he possibly can. And guys, the mortgage process is freaking confusing, right? Interest rates are moving all over the place. You're trying to figure out when to lock it in. You're trying to get your house appraised and just all this other craziness. You want to deal with somebody who actually that you can call on the phone, who cares about you, who will take your call and spend some time explaining stuff to you. And that's not a call center. That's not some random big box bank or mindless website. And this is how the West Point network functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football. And we're trying to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the man that you need to meet. Plus, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. It's a monstrous savings. It's like $1,300. That is definitely enough to paint your house, at least if you're doing it yourself. Maybe not on the outside, but on the inside. Craig Oxane, area sales manager for the Money Store. Check him out. His link is on our website. So is Jocelyn's. They both have little business cards up there. So just go click on Jocelyn's first, buy yourself a house. Click on Craig's, get your house financed. I'm telling you, Ask for Football is your one-stop shop.
Yeah, for sure. And hey, make sure that you tell them that Ask for Football sent you. So if you hear about this, if you hear about Jocelyn or Craig from the show, just say, hey, look, we heard about you from AFF, which would be pretty legit. Nice. Omar wow. Falls asleep mid-sentence. On to the Tulsa preview. So Tulsa's 3-7. They're 0-6, but we're 0-6, therefore winless in the American Conference. These guys have been beaten by Abilene Christian, Oklahoma State, and Oregon State.
That's who they beat.
They've beaten Abilene Christian, Oklahoma State, and Oregon State. You know, death blow for Mike Gundy. They lost to New Mexico State University, Navy, Tulane, Memphis, ECU, Temple, and then FAU. Dan, could you cover the offense, please?
Yeah, when this offense works right, which is not every day, they run the ball a lot. They have a freshman quarterback, Baylor Hayes. He is 155 for 263 passing for about 1,700 yards. That's just under 60% completion percentage. 10 touchdowns against 5 interceptions, which is not too bad. It's actually good. But he's also taken 21 sacks, which is a pretty decent number of sacks. He's also the team's third leading rusher with 82 carries and 3 rushing touchdowns, but he's definitely carrying less than 2 yards per carry with all those sacks. Running backs Dominic Richardson and AJ Allen each average about 5 yards per carry, but collectively they only have about 7 rushing touchdowns together. So, you know, that's like a good half of football for Cale Helms. Tight end Brody Foley leads the team in receiving yards. He has 7 touchdowns. Wide receiver Zion Booker leads the team in catches, and he's the best possession receiver. So that's an inversion of what you would expect, right? You'd expect the tight end to be the possession receiver and the wide receiver to take it deep, but nope, they're going to throw it up to that to the tight end, and the possession receiver is the actual wide receiver. Dude has 2 touchdowns. These guys fumble a lot. They've lost 7 this year in addition to the 5 picks, making them, I think, -7 on the year with turnover margin. Is that right? Yeah.
That's pretty rough. -7. All right, so moving on to the defense. They're 115th ranked in rushing defense. They allow 182.7 rushing yards a game. That's 4.5 yards a carry. That's 17 rushing TDs on the season. That's a bunch. They're better at the pass defense. These guys do a good job getting after the quarterback. They have 21 sacks total this season. Defensive lineman Jadon Burdett has 25 tackles and 6.5 sacks. Naki Johnson has 23 tackles and 3 sacks, and defensive lineman Byron Turner Jr. has 14 tackles and 4.5 sacks. They're decent on third down defense, allowing about 41% conversions. That's 86th overall. And their top 3 tacklers are linebacker Ray Coney. He has 36 solo, 2 sacks, 2 passes defended, 1 forced fumble. And then your safeties, Linto Smith Jr. and Zach Williams. They have 128 tackles collectively, but they have 11 passes defense and 3 forced fumbles. So these guys are getting after the receivers in the defensive backfield, and they create opportunities for themselves. They don't have as many turnovers as you would think, considering how well they get to the quarterback. They have 4 fumble recovers and 5 interceptions. That makes them 9-7 in the turnover margin, as Dan mentioned before. Again, you're looking at a defense that's better at the pass, which is, you know, the way things are going for Army, it matches up fairly well. Moving on to special teams, Omar, you want to take that?
Absolutely. So at kicker, you have Seth Morgan, who was 22 of 22 in extra points, as expected, 14 for 17 on field goals. He has one miss apiece from each of the yardage ranges, 30, 40, and 50 plus. Punter's about average. Angus Davies, 40 yards per punt. He put two inside the 20 last week against Oregon State without a touchback. So fairly average special teams, but I mean, I don't think Army will be getting any freebies in the red zone or I guess in field goal range because they look pretty solid in the kicking game.
Yeah, the old coffin corner kick, man, that's a lost art, you know, particularly in the NFL. Like, guys don't do that very well, and they do it in college, but it's just not something that you think that people practice as often. You know, I think people were more than happy with settling for the touchback. Moving on to the weather. Weather report's been all over the place. Rain expected on Friday, partially sunny on Saturday. Highs in the lower 50s, lows in the 30s. Great day for Army football. Betting line, Army is opened at 9.5, at -9.5, and then has risen as high as -11.5. The over-under sits at 46.5. Whew. All right, we'll go takes on the game. We'll start with Omar, and then Dan, and then myself. What do you guys think?
I don't want to feed into the rat poison of being a two-score favorite, honestly, but I feel kind of secure with this Tulsa team because all of Tulsa's wins, like, yeah, it looks kind of scary. They have good sticker wins against Oregon State and Oklahoma State, but those are two teams having generationally bad years. I think that we'll be able to establish the fullback. My favorite thing to cry about when it comes to Army, because against Navy, Alex Teske had 15 carries for 72 yards. The quarterback run game as well for Navy was very efficient. Blake Horvath had 21 carries for 159 yards. So I think the offense rolls in this one. And if anything, if we have to play temple ball and hold the ball for, you know, 10 minutes per drive, I can see us doing that too. But I don't really feel that's necessary. I think, honestly, we might even on the edge too get a little bit of good edge play as well with how poor they are up the middle defending the fullback, how poor they were against Navy. So I think that we'll see a classic Army win. I don't want to jinx it, but, I mean, we match up well with Tulsa.
Yeah, for sure. Dan, how about you?
So this team's best thing is getting after the quarterback. And the problem with that is the way the Army offense works is it tends to hit hard and fast right up the middle. And a lot of times those guys just trying to get upfield and they'll overrun the play. So, yeah, you would think that you would want to work that fullback dive and have that thing hit as fast as you can and just blow past those D linemen as they're trying to get up the field. That's definitely the way that I would look to play it if I was the Army offense. So cautiously optimistic. I, you know, it's funny because we all want Army to be a little bit more explosive, which means, you know, rolling Cale Helms out and letting him throw a little bit. And we know we can do it, right? We've seen them do that a ton. But just as that probably wasn't the play last week against Temple with a team that had an astronomically better secondary than linebacker play, this is same deal this week. I don't think that you want to throw the ball against a team when rushing is what they're bad at stopping and passing is what they're kind of good at stopping.
Yeah. I think this week, you know, again, I'm surprised, surprise, Rob's going to say front seven play, but the reality of it is I think our offensive line matches up very, very well with their defensive line. They're used to pursuing up the field. So they're explosive, but you know, we'll see how well they get blown off the ball. Right. I think it's going to come down to the trenches. So if Army can move the ball in the trenches, that'll be good. I think, you know, I do want to see a little bit more movement if we do have to pass, like move the pocket with Cale Helms, right? Shift it with him, you know, have him roll out and create those opportunities down the field because I think that's a better opportunity. But again, looking at the history of these teams, they've had two games and both of which have been lopsided. They're 1-1 right now, tied in the series. I'm sure that number will change over time, but the last win was in 2024, and Army beat them pretty soundly. Teams are different, but I think there's opportunity here, you know, and I hate to say it, but being cliche, but, you know, you play clean, run the ball well, and Army should, you know, take control of this game and win. I think the other part of it is the overall ability to run the ball. I mean, like, hey, let's open up the fullback room and just keep dumping it, right? Let's keep running all over the place and let the fullbacks take the bulk of the work because you're going to need Helms healthy later in the season.
Sounds good to me. You want to do a little fact or fiction?
Yes, let's do some fact or fiction.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
All right, this is Fact or Fiction review from the Temple game. Someone other than Helms leads the team in rushing this week. That was fiction. Dan said fact. Everybody else said fiction. Rob said Boson gets one sack and one tackle for loss this week. That was fiction. There were no sacks at all. Casey Larkin got a tackle for loss. Annan Thomas and Cole Seawright combined for the second. Rob said fact. Everyone else said fiction. James said Army doubles Temple's turnovers, which is fiction. The game had zero turnovers. James is the only one that said fact. And from the Firsty Club, last time we had Sir Poppy Seed. We averaged more than 5.5 yards per carry. That was fiction. We averaged 3.6 yards per carry, and that was a fact that everyone had fact agreement on that one. West Point Dave said we run for 300 yards against Temple. The game was way too short. We saw just over 500 yards of offense total combined. Dan said fact. Everyone else said fiction. Moving on to this week. Dan, what is your fact or fiction?
Fact or fiction, Army hits 5 yards per carry this week. The Black Knights have been like anti-explosive all season, but you got to think that that's a point of emphasis because it's getting to the point where it's almost problematic. And against a lot of these more explosive offensive teams, I understand wanting time of possession to get crazy. Even in the Temple game, I understand what they were trying to do last week, but they got to find a way to put some actual yards up, right? To do a little better than 2.5 yards per carry and going for it on a fourth down on every single possible fourth down. So that's my fact or fiction.
Oof. All right. So I will say fact. I think I agree with you, Dan. I think there's a desire to get some more explosive plays, but I think they can come from the fullback, right? I think because of the way that Tulsa plays defense, there's a lot of opportunity there. So you could run inside and still get that 5 yards per carry. You don't have to set the edge or throw deep, but that's my thoughts. How about you, Omar? What do you think?
I'm going to say fiction. I kind of think the inverse, and I don't think it's a problem for us to like not average 5 yards to carry. I think honestly, just depending on the, like with the personnel we have, I think having that explosive run game isn't really our calling card, especially now with we've seen us try to force Noah Short the ball, right? And I know that we said that, you know, we're gonna, you know, run the ball up the middle to open up the edge. I think you know, the edge hasn't really been there as much for most of the year, honestly, like for that classic slot back explosiveness you want to see. And I think that's really the key for us having a 5 yards per carry, like not a consistent, you know, 5, 6, 7 yards per play, but I think a few chunk plays on the ground would give us that 5 yards per carry. I just don't see us getting many chunk plays on the edge. So unfortunately, I'm going to have to go fiction, maybe like 4.5, 4 yards per carry, but a win's a win. So, I mean,
that's true enough. I mean, they've definitely got a formula, right? And they made it work even against K-State. Like, they almost made it work against Temple. Temple is not a bad team, so, yeah.
Well, I think one of the things that we may see, too, is the, you know, maybe we'll see some fullback carries from the pistol, you know, have Bartosz as the halfback and feed him, you know, similar to what we've seen in the past, utilizing the fullback to kind of a little bit wider vision to give him a chance to hit the line at full speed. So it's possible. Anyway, moving on. Rob's fact or fiction is Army forces 2 turnovers this game. I think that's very, very easy to do against the team like Tulsa that puts the ball on the turf quite a bit.
I'm going to say fiction, but I like where your head is at. I don't know how easy it is to say, I think we're going to get 2 turnovers in the game, but freshman quarterback, they've been a pretty ball hawking secondary for most of the season. Definitely since the initial skid has ended, you know, the team has kind of righted itself and looked way better. Yeah. So I'm going to reluctantly say fiction, but that, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if you turn out to be right about that one.
Yeah. Omar, how about you?
I'm going to gamble and say fact. I really don't have a reasoning because there's a stat called turnovers luck for a reason. You know, these things just kind of happen with turnovers. So, I'm just going to say fact just cause.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Omar, fact or fiction, your turn. What do you got?
Okay. I'm not really good at picking these, so I decided to have some fun with unsung heroes of the Army team. God's power. Wawie and Lloyd Benson both get carries this week. Fact or fiction? And here's why. Here's why. I will fanboy a random slot back each year on this team. For the past 2 years, it's been Zach Mundell. Zach Mundell's only played one game. I'm still part of the Mundell Mafia, but I'm just flabbergasted. I'm flabbergasted by the fact that we don't use Lloyd Benson more to give Noah Short, you know, rest, because Lloyd Benson's averaging 13 yards on a per punt return. He has a 32-yard punt return on the year. But the only thing is like he looks bad when he carries the ball because I guess he's not buying enough food from Grant Hall for the line because everyone forgets how to block when he gets the ball on this season. So I'm high on Lloyd Benson. And plus, this is the potential for a game to where we can get up comfortably and get some carries. And then also I'm fascinated by God's Power Wawie just because he kind of fits that build. If we keep him at – if we – I guess move him to fullback. He kind of fits that Kanye Udo build, about 5'10", 200. And I know that we want explosive fullbacks. And I think it's smart to get a guy like God's Power Wawie, like some game time experience, you know, just so we can, you know, because the fullback depth has been struggling the past couple weeks. I mean, yeah,
for sure.
Briggs Bartosz got hurt, I think, last week a little bit.
He never came in. He was on the bench in shorts.
That's right.
They never announced it. We just saw him sitting there.
Yeah.
Okay. So that there was that. And then, of course, Hayden Reed's been in the doghouse, too. So next man up with the fullbacks, right? You know, I mean, get some fourth quarter carries to the guys. So,
yeah. And for sure. I will say fact.
So the reason I'm going to say fiction is because it is senior day. And if there's a lead and they're giving out carries to dudes to give them carries, those dudes are going to be seniors who have, you know, like been on the scout team and haven't really seen the field very much. I don't know if they got that at fullback, but I would be willing to bet they have that at slot back with guys who have just been buried behind Noah Short for 3 years. So 4 years, whatever. I would love to see God's Power get a lot more carries and just game experience, but spoiler alert, I think he's got a decent chance to be your starting quarterback next season. Not next season. I'm sorry. In 2 seasons.
Yeah.
You put him as the backup to Cale Helms next year, I think is seems like the obvious move.
Well, I mean, it's always hard because like when you watch college football, you know, you got to have the youth movement, but you also have to anticipate the portal. Right. And I don't think the portal is big a deal because like, hey, look, I'll throw it. I'm gonna throw shade on all the guys that freaking left Army. Guess what? Your freaking numbers are in the dirt. So if you're listening to this show, good on you. You should have stayed. Right. And Coach Monken says that all the time in the press conferences. And when they talk to him about the players leaving, he always says your best opportunity to represent yourself is at Army. Like, why? Cause we're going to showcase your talent. Like, literally, Kanye Udo has had more touches in the Air Force game last year than he has in the entire season at Arizona State. So if you're an Army fan and you're looking, you know, if you're a player and you're looking to leave, hey, man, you're sealing your own fate, particularly if you pop before your junior year, because that's the year that the NFL scouts are looking for your numbers. So if you transfer and you don't get the numbers, guess what? You're out to lunch. And so as an Army fan, you know, hey, I don't want to see those guys go, but also as a college football guy that watches a lot of games, like, dude, you are slitting your own throat on an additional opportunity. So I hope that bag of money that you got was huge, because you ain't going to get the bigger bag of money by making it into the NFL.
Yeah,
and so for sure. Like, that's the truth of the matter, because if you don't have good numbers as a junior, like, you've got 1 year to make it, and you're assuming a lot of injuries and risk, because if I'm a coach, you know, knowing that I have to, you know, satiate people in the portal, guess what? You may not get the starting nod unless you are the absolute best guy at that position group. So that's the reality.
And now half those guys are looking at going from wherever they went from Army back to Middle Tennessee State in the group of five because they got, you know, 10 carries for 2 yards all season.
Yeah. And you're watching super, super talented guys too. Like we talked about it last week with the kid from K-State, you know, he started at freaking JMU or not JMU, started at Jackson State, went to Colorado, and then he transferred to K-State. And now he's on the prowl again. He's in the transfer portal, you know, as a junior, as a medical redshirt. But now, like, where is he going to end up? Well, he hopes he certainly ends up someplace where he can start. But, like, what coach is going to sign a kid that has literally just took a medical redshirt, you know? It compiles on itself. So it's just one of those things that's interesting. But
wait, before we move on, David Graves says, don't forget about Ethan Washington competing for quarterback one. Let's just point out that dude's got to come back from what supposedly was a pretty gruesome knee injury. So
yeah.
I really hope that we see him. My God, he looked amazing when, you know, just throwing the ball. He looked like he was going to be a better passer than we've ever seen at West Point. So I hope he comes back healthy, but I get the sense that's going to be kind of a tough rehab. So I'm just wait and see on that one.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so we're getting ready to move on to the mailbag.
You've got mail.
Dano's super creepy sounder, kids. Like, if the hairs on the back of your neck are not standing up before that, they certainly are now. All right, so we've got some time on the show, so if you guys got any questions, please drop them in the chat. But right now we have from Dave Graves, we have a fullback that has a 100-yard game this week. Ooh, that's a tough one, man. I mean, is Briggs Bartosz healthy? Do we know?
I don't know. If he is healthy, I think he might go off. But then again, why are you going to sit there and run Briggs Bartosz out against freaking Tulsa when you can rest him another week? Because you're going to need his ass against UTSA for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
So, I don't know why you would hurry to get him back. But in that case, maybe you do see a pretty solid dose of God's power. I would love to see that, but I don't know if I believe it.
Yeah. Well, the other part of it is you may just see guys for the first half, and that might be part of it too. So you may not get to that 100 yards because guys will, you know, if they get in and they get in a good rhythm, then we may not see, you know, the starters in the second half or at least after the third quarter. Like that's my wish for this game is that we put it on Tulsa so bad that we're pulling the ones about midway through the third quarter and just kind of riding it out, you know, and I'll lose it as a defensive guy. I will let them score a touchdown in garbage time, you know, to keep the starters healthy, to be honest, knowing full well that like UTSA is up and down. And when you play those guys at home, that's probably the toughest challenge that you're going to have this late in the season.
I mean, is Jake Rendina firstie this year?
No,
no. Okay. I was going to say, maybe you just feed him 25 carries and hope for the best.
Yeah, I mean, like that's
he really impressed me last week, and now going up against a lesser defensive team, I would love to see them feed Rendina and just let him work his magic and do his thing. I would love to see that.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see because attacking a defensive line that gets upfield that really sets your RPOs a lot better. You're not going to set the edge as well, you know, because if they're crashing hard, your defensive ends are probably going to blow the pitch play up. So your interior linemen and running inside the tackles are going to be fun. Nice. And this is a fun fact related players leaving Army. Isaiah Alston has 9 catches in his last year at Army. He has 8 in 2 seasons since he left. Again, like you can't make this up. It's like central casting. Like if you leave Army, your production goes down. Like it's whatever. It is what it is. Hey, does anybody have a favorite thing, Dano?
Listen, it's my 30th reunion this weekend. Super excited. I think, you know, I just want to win. I want to get bowl eligible this season. You know, for a while we thought we were on 2-10 watch. I'm so excited that the team seems to be headed in the right direction. I do get why it took them several weeks to figure out, you know, who they wanted to do and then, you know, almost reboot the offense from scratch. But fine. We are where we are. Let's move forward. I would like to see them take the next step and have that explosive game in front of all my classmates. Super excited, man. Yeah, that's awesome. Ray Kimball, my classmate, says 95 going to represent this weekend. I can't wait to see you, Ray. Ray's taking us on a tour through the cemetery.
Nice. Make sure you guys are vertical, though, for the game. Just keep in mind. You know, and that's one of the things that we got to look at. And my favorite thing, of course, is like, hey, here's the opportunity for bowl eligibility. It's all the checklist stuff that you need, right? So if Army wins this, wins out, you know, 9-4 with a bowl game win is quite a possibility. You know what I mean? Like, we just got to keep hammering away. UTSA is going to be a tough game. I think we all know that. We're not looking past Tulsa. I think it'll be tough because Tulsa, like, they put it on Washington State this past weekend. I was like, good grief. Like, I texted everybody. I was like, are these guys good or is that other team just that bad?
Well, they made Temple look pedestrian there for quite a while.
Yeah.
Took some legit heroics for the Owls to pull that one out in overtime.
Yeah, so I mean, they have a team, you know, and hopefully the flyover, you know, startles them, and all the pomp and circumstance and all the booze coming from the class of 95 because they're hammered drunk in the stands will throw these guys off, because I think legitimately that you know, every game left on the Army schedule is a winnable game, right? And they just have to execute in order to do that, and I think that's probably the most important part of it. But for the crew here at the As for Football Army Football Show, we're going to close this thing out. My name is Rob, your host in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Ikebasa calling to you out of coastal Connecticut, and Omar is in the great state of Oklahoma. Hey, we thank you guys for checking us out. And remember, roundtable tomorrow night. We did about a 30, 60, 40 roundtable tonight because we had a little bit more time to talk about stuff. But we're certainly going to dive a little bit deeper into the college football pantheon. And we will see you guys next week. And as always, beat Tulsa.
Beat them. God, please.
Thanks for listening to this week's Ask for Football Army Football Show. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into Army football. Remember, whether you're cheering in the stands or following along from home, get all your updates on the Army football team at askforfootball.com. And as a special thanks, we would like to thank our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you need. Visit jocelynbradley.com for all your real estate needs. Don't forget, subscribe, leave us a review, and follow us on social media for all the latest updates. Until next time, go Army, beat Navy!